listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The show with the hottest takes.
I think, you know, the more exposed lesson that should be learned here is, you know, this mob mentality online. This acting like a sheep, where someone rips this off the telecast, posts it on Twitter, and immediately concludes it was Morgan Riley that said it.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
It is a Maple Leaf game night tonight. Puck drop at 7 p.m. Pregame at 6:30 right here on TSN 1050. So an abbreviated final hour of Overdrive. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Craig Button in here. And Craig, you brought this up on the fly. The Mount Rushmore of the NHL.
Really caused a stir.
I love these type of debates, man. You can bank on it. This will be coming up on That's Hockey and in the pregames and postgames.
I just want to make sure that, you know, when they post it online, like .ca, like it carries some levity. Like, you know, because what'll happen is they'll post and say, McLennan says Price has to be on there. And then people are like, you're an idiot. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you believe that he should be on there. Like,
I personally do.
This is what we said. Then so what? Just own it.
But I'm saying that it's an ongoing debate. And I find that people, when stuff is posted online, they reply to the headline and not listen to what they have to.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Like, I don't know how many times you go, yeah, you know, the headline is caused a stir more than actually what we've said. That's the only thing that I got to get rattled about.
Well, that's clickbait, but that's the era we live in. Yeah, it's all about clicks. It's all about content.
But this is a great
topic. But they should, though, go like, I've had this a number of times. People make a comment back. Go, did you listen to the, did you watch the clip?
No.
They go back and they go, oh, yeah, okay, good.
Well, especially with these type of topics, it's all positive. If you're even in the conversation, I'm sure the players would be honored.
Yeah.
But we brought it up, and it's completely arbitrary. It's everyone, you know, it's a completely subjective opinion. But since the 04-05 lockout, who would be in the Mount Rushmore for the NHL? Reason we brought it up was because of the Pens Caps game last night.
Yeah.
And Crosby and Ovechkin are clearly on that.
They're a lock.
They are one and two of the four. Beyond that, I think I would put Malkin, and it probably speaks to how undervalued he was. He wasn't even in the top 100. Remember the NHL came out with their top 100? Somehow Malkin wasn't in the top 100, which was completely embarrassing and ridiculous. But you look at his numbers, 1,000 points. He's won a Hart. He's won a Conn Smythe. He won the first one back in
2009.
Right.
I would put Malkin in there. And then beyond that, Craig, you had Patrick Kane.
I had Kane.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to make a strong case for that. I was saying Zdeno Chara, who I think in recent years, his play hasn't been as dominant. But when he was at his peak.
10 years, he was a beast.
10 years, he was a beast.
Terrifying.
I don't think there was another
terrifying
player.
Terrifying beast.
Yeah.
I don't think there was another player in the league, another leader, the face of a team that truly defined who his team was and how they played, like Chara and the Bruins.
So I want Jamie to tell that story about his influence on Jake DeBrusk.
Well,
that was a great story.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a story about how when young players come on to the Bruins and into the organization, that, you know, Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, like that core, they like to play a certain way. And there are times where, you know, I heard this like secondhand, but, you know, DeBrusk misses a wide open net and he shows some frustration, comes back to the bench, and Chara walks down and goes, we don't do that here. You know, we don't show frustration. We dig in, and then walks back. Like, to me, that's the leadership that I think Babcock was talking about with Patrick Marleau, with Ron Hainsey. Those veteran guys, and I think Marleau's done a very good job with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, developing that relationship. I know that people have fun with it, that he, you know, he's like their other sons. But
is he a rah-rah guy, though?
No,
like,
not at all.
I
think Patty's a guy, watch me, don't listen to me, watch me. And that's, you know, that, to me, that goes in spades as far as how deep it could get into the root of a player. I think John Tavares is another guy who leads by example, not by yelling and screaming.
Right, but like Marner and Matthews could not have any more opposite personalities than Patrick Marleau.
No.
Like, I think, I'm sure he's had an effect on them. I don't dispute that. And they're very close. But I don't think Marner or Matthews are going to, they haven't changed how they interact with people,
but
being on Instagram,
you're right.
All that
I don't
kind of stuff.
I don't think Patty Marlowe says, hey, you know, Austin, don't, you know, we don't wear that hat, that top hat, you know, you're wearing to the games and have that flash and stuff. I think he's more, it wouldn't surprise me if Austin felt like there was a little bit of blowback on Monday night's comments. He may have asked Patrick about it, like in a private conversation, be like, and Patty may say, I don't know, and I'm not
but
going to put
say,
words
wouldn't
into
you
his
say,
mouth.
Though, like if Marlowe's the guy leading, he shouldn't have to wait for Matthews to come to him.
He may give him a tap and be like, hey, just be careful with that, because it can end up growing ahead of its own, or growing, well, you know,
the,
whatever.
The tap would Taking be when Austin says we, you know, like Patrick's right. going, hang on here. Like,
yeah.
You know what? You want to speak for yourself. I don't think it's for your place to speak for everybody. You talked about Morgan Riley. That's where Patrick Marlowe can tell Morgan and just get him calm. Don't worry. Yeah. Like, you know what? You have done nothing wrong here. You know, and to hear that from somebody like Patrick Marlowe, you know, that's really significant. Like, you know, and those are the things when people talk about culture and leadership and everything, those little interactions, those exchanges between the older players, just yeah. what you talked about with Sinchara, you can't buy them. You can't buy them
right.
because the coach can't do it because he doesn't have the same relationship with the player. The manager can't do
right.
it. But when the players do it and you have those types of quality people that do it, it's gold.
I'll bring up one that kind of caught me off guard, but Matt Hendricks being brought back to uh-huh. Winnipeg. Now, Hendricks isn't a guy that's going to win the Jets the Cup. But there was something about his personality, something about everything that he brings as a pro that the Jets felt they needed to bring back at the deadline.
Well, the fact of the matter is, in pro sports, intangibles and leadership and culture, it still has a big place in how people build their teams. You know, on the outside, you focus on the game tape.
Correct.
You focus on the stats and the analytics, and that's how you make up your mind. I think the best example, the most recent example of that, is what happened with that Giants-Browns trade last night. You know, I think the Giants clearly concluded they didn't want Odell Beckham Jr. around.
Uh-huh.
Whether you
yeah.
like it or not is a different point. Whether you feel like they got enough in return is something that I would follow you down that rabbit hole.
Right.
I would agree with that. I don't think they got enough return based on his value, but they concluded he had to go. You know, it's just like Kessel here. You know, Phil Kessel, and it may not have been based on character or whatever, I don't know. But at some point, they decided if we're turning over a new leaf, Phil can't be a part of it.
Right.
Now, Phil went on and obviously took full advantage of the situation.
Yeah, cups and
wins two cups, and he's ingratiated himself to everyone in Pittsburgh and Penguins fans.
Yep.
And he's had a great run in Pittsburgh. But the Leafs decided he's got to go.
Yeah.
And at the time, we weren't sure if they got enough in return. I think in retrospect, they did. They got a pretty good return for him. And Kasperi Kapanen and picks that they used to flip to get Freddie Anderson.
Yeah,
but that's what's happened in New York. You know, Beckham is a spectacular talent. He's a top three wide receiver in the game, and they're going to pay him to play somewhere else. Now, it may blow up in their face if you don't build the right culture now that he's out. It doesn't mean anything. And if you don't win games, you can speak about your culture all you want. You know, the greatest culture in the world. If you win three games a year in the NFL, it doesn't matter.
But I'll go back. So the Giants are no good. So you want to be no good with Odell Beckham Jr.? Or do you want to try to move forward? I mean, Jabril Peppers is a first-round draft pick, and they get a first-round draft pick. Like, you know what? Like, I mean, Bill Belichick traded Jamie Collins for a third-round draft pick. And everybody goes, he's nuts. Yeah, they went and won the Super Bowl. Bo Schembechler, I've been quoting him a lot recently, last few days. The team, the team, the team.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Not fantasy sports here. It's not about what you could get. Hey, listen, I think the New York Giants did really well in fact getting the exchange. First of all, what's OBJ going to do for the Giants?
Well, if you get him a quarterback, I mean, okay, that's the thing.
Well, how are you going to get him a quarterback?
Well, you should have been drafting one in the past.
Well, maybe you should have been.
Saquon
Barkley. That's all fine, but it's still about the team. And that's where people miss the boat. They miss it all the time. It's about the team. I get it. You want to look at – you need players that can play. I always joke – if you want the ultimate leader to come into your room and help you, then get Mark Messier. The problem is Mark Messier can't play anymore. So if you can't play, you have no influence.
Right.
Right? So let's not forget that. But the bottom line is the influence of players, call them intangibles or whatnot, what goes on and what goes on in the dynamics of a team, they matter. And anybody that says they don't matter are people that want to ignore it willingly or don't know. One or the other.
There's no disputing that. I think the concern is, and I'm not a Giants fan, so I have no skin in the game, but I've seen it with teams here in Toronto before, is that there can be an overemphasis on culture,
right.
leadership, and that's where you can get in a lot of trouble.
You need to have skill.
That's the truth.
That's really what...
You better be able to play. Don't get me wrong here.
Exactly. That's what people need to focus on, but I believe there's a place for everything. If the team is a pie and there's eight pieces, okay, so how you evaluate it? Well, there's some analytics, there's some intangibles, there's chemistry, there's coaching. Like there's multi-layers to this. And when the Leafs decided to move away from Phil and Dion, they decided that core with the group that they had right there was not going to get it done. So they moved on. And players, they've gone on to success, they've gone on to get paid a lot of money, but... What the Leafs tried to do was strip it right down to the bone, as close to the bone as they could get it, and build it back up again. They've done a good job at that. And I've said this before. It costs money. It costs patience from the fan base that was willing to do it. There had to be a vision in place. There was a lot of different things that had to come together. And now you're building it back up. And this group is moving forward. They're a good group. I think they can get better, and I think... That's one of the things, Brian, you're talking about down the stretch. You want more from this group. Well, they need to show more. They haven't won a playoff round. They haven't had that playoff success to be in the same conversations as the Tampas and the Washingtons and the Pittsburghs. They may have the talent or heading in that direction to do that, but until you do it, like Cleveland, you guys have been talking about, looks great on paper. Until you do it, then the people are going to say you have the potential.
I've said this at times. Mike Babcock's got to prove it too.
You're right.
You're the highest paid coach in the league, right? And this hasn't been something that's just been with this team. We're going 10 years now.
In terms of playoff success.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't had it.
Yeah.
He did not have it in Detroit. And
they had leads that they blew in playoff series. They had lead. They were up 3-2 in 2009 in the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
They blew it. They were up 3-1 against Chicago Blackhawks. Blew it. 3-2 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Blew it. Like, you know what? It's not just the team. It's also the coach.
Well, how much of it is on him to... This is another intangible that is very difficult. Because talent-wise, I would put the Leafs up there with anyone in the league, short of maybe Tampa. But I think talent-wise, they have a ton of talent. I think... It comes at you in waves, especially up front and in net. I mean, those two positions, I would match them up with anybody in the league. Defensively is a different story. But this idea that they are amping it up, which is very difficult. It's difficult to define, but it's something you can sense. There's something you can see.
Right.
Like, we mentioned it. Pittsburgh, they know they've got to get going. So they're starting to get going. Tampa doesn't have to, but I feel like they still are.
They are.
Tampa's still improving. They're like, we'll take advantage of the final 15 games
right.
to get better and feel better about ourselves and iron out any wrinkles. The Leafs' wrinkles have been here for years. We know what they are. I don't sense that there's intensity to try to iron those out. I don't sense that they're like, we are going to dominate, not tonight,
right.
for the next 12 games going into the playoffs. And this idea that it's just going to, a switch is going to be flipped and all of a sudden that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to take place.
Well, they're
going to the playoffs and they're playing the Bruins. But
I also don't buy. Hey, listen, to be successful, you have to put in an effort. Don't get me wrong, but every time something goes wrong, well, we got to get back to work. We got to get to work. We got to get back to work. Feel good about yourself. But you know what? Sometimes you got to work smart. Sometimes you got to have a strategy to get the players enthusiastic. Hey, we got a game plan here because I've been around lots of teams and lots of players. I usually don't see lack of effort as being an issue. I really don't. But when players don't believe and when players are being asked to do things and they know, well, we know how this is going to go. We keep doing it because the one thing about hockey players, they conform. They conform. They do it from a young age. And if the coach says do this, that's what you do. Yeah. Even if it's not working, they still do it. So to me, I put a real big onus on coaches to be better at strategy. I think Mike Babcock has to do a better job.
Well,
and that's against anybody, but it's really going to be amplified against the Bruins.
Yeah.
Like, that's sure. really what he's got. He's got to have one eye on the team right now. He should have the other eye on how are we going to devise a plan to beat this team.
Mm-hmm. With the team we have.
With what we have. Because nothing's changing between now and the playoffs.
I love what Claude Julien has done. Okay, and I get where coaches have to be dialed into their philosophy and what they believe in.
Right.
Claude Julien won a Stanley Cup, had some terrific teams in Boston. He did a really good job there.
Right.
It was a very different team. And when he came over to Montreal last year, it seemed that he was trying to play the game that he played in Boston. He didn't have the personnel to do that. But now you watch how he uses his team and how he's adapted and how he's changed. That's the change. That's the strategy. Bruce Cassidy, same personnel in Boston that Claude Julien had. He got them scoring more and defending just as well. That's the strategy, changing things up for the players.
Yeah. Well, it has to happen with the Leafs because of the way the team's constructed and because of injuries. You know, the defensive core isn't changing. I know Babcock was asked about Justin Hall being added into the lineup or not, and he said, listen, we're going to deal with today.
He's made up his mind on him. He's not playing.
What's he played, four games?
Yeah, he's not playing.
On, like,
stop asking the question.
Yeah, I agree with you, guys.
I agree.
It's over. It's done.
But the core, this group is going to play. They have to play together. They've got to – and you're right. You can't flick a switch and go, okay, now it's playoff time. Now it's time to tighten up in our zone. Now it's time to win a 2-1 game. That it just doesn't happen naturally. The minute you start to think the game or get outside the dots and the pace even elevates more, if it's even possible, I know the pace is so high, but it's going to elevate more because it's under a microscope. You get caught on the outside and a guy gets inside position on you. Now you're relying on your goaltender again, and that's why it comes back. Like, I think Frederik Andersen has had a Vezina season. He's
totally
been brilliant.
Agree.
But you know, even you look at underlying numbers and how many high-grade chances they give up from quality areas, and the goaltender just makes it look easy. So you're like, okay, the team early on it could outscore any issue. Now that the game's tightened up, they've got to tighten up with it and then let their talent shine through. They have the talent to shine through. You just pointed to it.
They have as much talent as Boston.
Yeah.
They have as much talent as the Bruins.
But is Boston's system and defensive core give them the edge?
Well, the numbers would suggest that they do.
That's where it comes back to tacticians. It comes back to, you know, your top players playing like top players and saying it doesn't matter what they've got, I'm taking control of the game. If 34 says, I'm going to put the team on my back.
Well, and that's how you can take the coaching out of it.
Exactly.
You know, that's like old school, I don't care what else is going on here. I'm not
going
to lose.
Okay, so the other night, you're going up against Tampa, and you're losing draws in your own zone. Okay, you don't get beat back to the front of the net, and you get underneath sticks, and you knock bodies down so that, you know, the goaltender, that it's not going off legs and going into the net. The third goal, or the fourth goal, the goal that
off
that
the
got
deflection.
Yeah, that was off.
That
was
off.
It was going 8 feet wide.
I agree.
That's just a bad bounce. That's an off night. But, you know, how does it get back to the point? Who lost the draw? Where is the positioning? Like, those are the details that a guy, you know, coaching's there, but it also the player has to execute and dig in. And that comes back to you saying top players have to play like top players.
I'll give you a couple of examples of, you need all your players to be at their best, but, you know, I'll give you an example of two guys, Dave Reed and Mike Keane. But Chris Drury, when he was in, Dave Reed came over to the Colorado Avalanche, and, you know, Chris Drury was killing penalties, and he said Dave Reed would just point out to him, he says, you're going 3 feet too far. Just come back to here, and you're going to have the whole game under control on the penalty kill, right?
Yeah.
Chris is like 3 feet, and he goes, then I get out there, and I go, 3 feet, right?
Yeah.
Like, so where's that experience, right? Mike Keane would just settle everybody down. He goes, you know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. It's good. Don't try to do more.
Right.
Sometimes a player's got to be told, don't do more. Because one thing that happens with high-end players, when things aren't going their way, they have a tendency to want to do more. And then they get more out of their game because they're so anxious to do things. That's the other thing where, you know, you settle down a player. And unless you're around it and you see the influence of those guys, they need to do it. Dave Reed went and killed penalties. Mike Keane was out there doing it. Don't get me wrong. They need to be able to play. But that's really important stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's going to be a fun game tonight. I mean, Chicago's a team. They don't play defense very well, if at all. They give up a ton of goals.
I think Chicago's in for one. Like, if I'm the Leafs, there is zero excuse now. Like, you had a game where it was a dud against Tampa. You've had the day off. You had the Morgan Riley incident, but you know, if anything, there's incidents that can galvanize a group. You know, I would want to play for Morgan tonight. I hope that Morgan has a great game. And a response when you've got your leader or one of your leaders saying, yeah, we quit in the third.
Yeah, like, I think there's a spotlight on 34 tonight.
Yeah.
Like, because I think you make a very good point. It's one thing to say I quit, or when he said we quit, that's casting that on the whole team. That's saying everybody that was on the ice had the exact same approach that you did.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of players would probably be like, listen, man, I can't get out from underneath that.
Yeah.
You will get a free pass. Tyler Ennis is probably, or Freddie the Goat.
Yeah.
It's like, don't say I quit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm grinding, man. I'm trying to stay in the league here.
And you know what? You talk about some of the, like, let's use Patrick Marleau. And Patrick Marleau might make that exact point to him. Just, hey, you know what? You better not be less than 100% good tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he is, because he and Patrick Kane have a friendship going, and Kane's, Showtime will be dancing tonight.
Oh.
He doesn't take a night off like that. Patrick Kane has been.
I can tell you what, the way the Leafs play defense and the way they expose themselves, guys like Kane and these guys are licking their chops.
Yeah.
About now in that dressing room at the Scotiabank Arena.
He'll be playing 23 minutes a night tonight. He always does anyway. Yeah. I think he will. Showtime. I mean, they're in for a fight, and they're a top-heavy team, right? Like, Chicago's a top-heavy team.
And their power play has been, I mean, it's good power play.
Yeah. The pregame starting in about 8 minutes. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine with help from our buddy Al. Al is now officially engaged. He's a new man, and
yeah,
now he's
is.
Got a gambling problem. And he sent me this. Listen to this heater that Al is chasing the big scratch tonight. He's on the Leafs tonight. All right, so that's not
okay. That's not chasing.
That's understandable. He's got Jersey paying $3 in Edmonton tonight. So he's on the Devils tonight.
Well, they did
off.
Get rinsed last night. They
did
gave
he
up
watch
a nine
the game
spot.
Last night?
I know.
But he's been watching Edmonton all year, too, to be fair.
Yeah, well, but not, David and Draisaitl right now, they're going to shred the Devils tonight. Yeah.
Talk to Al. And listen to this one. He's taking a tie in the Rangers-Canucks game. So
how
he's
do you
saying,
take a tie?
Well, if it goes to overtime,
oh,
right,
overtime.
Or a shootout, Al's
go.
Going
to
be.
I'm predicting that Leon Draisaitl moves three goals closer to 50 tonight.
You got him scoring.
And McDavid, goes past the 100-point mark.
We got to get it. I didn't like the fact that one thing last night, they left the kid in for nine.
Oh,
Blackwood.
Yeah.
You don't do that. The kid's young and good.
Like, well, and he had the water bottle issue, too. It was
know,
an ugly
that,
night for
that
him,
was a
man.
Rough one.
Throw down 20, you can score $729.
Man, that's big game
that's
fishing.
That's big time hunting.
He's looking for a down payment for a house
that's
or something.
That's right, man. He wants to, exactly. He's looking at the whole wedding bill,
exactly.
The house,
open
everything.
Bar. He's like, I got to double down
I
on
have
it.
To get paid. Throw down 20, score $729. You can find my picks and Al's picks online at TSN 1050 on Twitter and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Craig, great seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, great
as
to
always.
Be here. Thanks.
We'll see you again soon, I hope.
Yep.
Welcome to the back studios. It's a beautiful thing back here. Noodles, are you out of here tomorrow? You're
yes,
off tomorrow.
Yes, I'm in Ottawa. It's Ottawa-St. Louis. I'll be back Friday.
At 4 p.m.?
Yes.
We'll chat then.